Good morning. All right, we are back. We're back after a little hiatus, but thank God for good things, holidays, and the like. We're back on Revolvi on page 1007, Emunah V'Yir. This is going to be the last section of our discussions about Emunah, and then we're going to have a wrap-up week, and then we'll move on to new things.
Just a minute, but with Revolvi?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, Revolvi finishes up his Emunah section. Don't worry. And so on that, I saw this quote from Marilyn Monroe. Maybe it's from her, maybe not. I don't know. And it was up to debate if we can quote Marilyn Monroe. But I think that the quote rings true regardless of who it comes from. That you know, friends tell you what you want to hear, and a best friend will tell you what you need to hear. And so whether it's Marilyn Monroe or not, it matters that much. But Revolvi more or less says the same thing in the beginning, before he starts talking about the concept of Emunah with Yira. And so jumping at the very, very, very top, he says, we've talked about Emunah in a lot of capacities, but there's one more thing we need to discuss before we wrap up. Maybe these kind of discussions, these kind of ideas aren't pulling at your heart. Maybe they're not even so comfortable to hear. They're a little bit difficult. They're hard like thorns. But someone who really wants to hear the truth, they're going to want to hear this as well. This is what you really want to hear. Because Revolvi's not sugarcoating things. He's going to tell us this is what you need, this is what's really going on. And so if we're talking about Emunah, we're talking about real trust, faith, connection, what does that look like? There's an aspect we haven't discussed, because we talked about making it real. We talked about seeing God all over, but there's a concept of Yira that people often don't like talking about. Yira has more negative connotations. We associated with like education that existed back in the day when no one knew how to engage people, and Yira was what people are running away from Yiddishkeit. It doesn't bring people in, but it's part of it. And so he jumps in line 4, second paragraph, and says we have a pasuk that when the Jewish people finished leaving Egypt and splitting the sea. It says, "Vayir Yisrael sayam hakdola asher asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim," and they saw what Baruch Hu accomplished, everything he did, how Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of them. And then, it's a funny language. It says, "Vayiru ha'am es Adonai v'aminu b'Adonai Moshe avdo," and they feared God and they trusted in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. Now, if I were to ask you, what comes first, Emunah or Yira, or trust versus trepidation, following versus compliance, what would come first? Ordinarily, I would assume the way that I think I've operated, and whenever I've had to manage teams, is that I try I've had compliance. There are just rules that you have to operate under, but yeah, I try to build trust. I spent a lot of summers working with teams on these various trips. I worked with Yachad, I worked with NCSY a lot, and so I always had teams I had to work with. And so the trip might start, end of June, beginning of July, but we would have a staff training in May, and then we would get together for lunch one day, and then we'd have phone calls. And basically my goal with my staff was, we'll prepare them so they know whatever educational materials we're going to impart. But really the goal, the underlying goal of any meeting I had with them was to build trust, that they trust me. And then when we need to actually do things, we'll be able to operate. But if they don't trust me, we're not going to be successful. But Revolvi's telling us that's not necessarily how a real Emunah works. It's not that you build that trust, that Emunah, and then you have Yira. It's just the opposite.
But it depends who you're working with.
Well, if we're working with God, then I think yes. But hold on, what do you mean?
If you're working with kids who are a little bit at risk, then you have to approach it in a slightly different way.
Interesting.
You still have to build a trust with them.
And so the question is, do you spend more time building trust first or setting boundaries and structure first? And this is really something that comes up in the beginning of the Torah. The Shem Yishmol points out that if we look at the first parak, the entire first chapter of creation, there's only one name of God used. Anyone know which one it is? Elohim. Elohim has the connotation of din, of justice. of not necessarily being so soft and warm. And then only in the second paragraph, and many, many times later on, we're introduced to the more conventional name that we often use for God, of Hashem, Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh. And that name has a connotation of Rachamim, of mercy. And so Shem Yishmael notices that in the beginning of creation, we only have din, we have justice, and only later on do we develop this merciful interaction with God. What's the deal? It says anytime you're building something, anytime you're putting something together, you need to have a structure. You need to have a box that you fit things into. And then later on, you can be a little bit wishy-washy. If you need to mix things up a little bit, that's okay. But you have to have a daily structure. You need to know, I start at 9:15, we're going to end at 9:45. Okay, we'll start at 9:17, we'll end at 9:47, or we'll end a little early, whatever it is. But if you don't have that structure, you're trying to accomplish when there's no structure, when it's all merciful, when it's all rachamim, you're not going to be able to get where you want to go. You need to start with that structure. And so God starts the world with that structure. God starts the world with justice and then only introduces rachamim. And Rav Volbi's teaching us that that's really how a relationship with God operates as well. We don't grow up only having a love of God, but there's also a level of yira. And exactly what yira means, we're going to look at in just a moment. And so that's where we're going. Now we're going to jump down to line 12. And in line 12, Rav Volbi says, Dafka ha'adam ha'yareis ha'kadosh baruch hu shorei imo ha'amuna karoi. Only for someone who has a yira of Hashem, and we still haven't translated that word yira really, and that's on purpose. But only really with yira can you have a true amuna. V'hu adam ha'shalem b'avodas ha'bro. That person's going to really be complete in their and perfect in their service of God. V'nimsa ki be'emes ha'yira hi hatkalat le'amuna. The real way to start alf amuna is with yira. And the Rambam explains. The Rambam has three mitzvos of Emunah in his Sefer Mitzvos. In all, of the 613, 3 out of 613 is about Emunah. That's actually, all right, we spent a lot of time on it, but that's really worth it. 3 out of 316 is not bad. 613 is not bad. And he says the first one, Mitzvah Aleph. He tzivir asher tzivanu behamanas ha'elokut v'hu shenami sheyesh shemala v'sibah hu po'o l'cholanim so'im v'hu amru anokhi Hashem el-kecha. Effectively, when the God takes the Jewish people out of Egypt, brings them to Har Sinai, and God's introducing himself. And if you were God, creator of the world, master of the universe, how would you introduce yourself? I imagine that I would introduce myself and say, hi, I'm God, I created the whole world, I'm the reason why you exist. If I decided I didn't want you to exist at any moment, you would cease to exist. That's a pretty large, pretty big introduction. That's probably what I would go for. But God doesn't say, I created the world. He says, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Ticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I took you out of Egypt. And so one of the elements of knowing and understanding and connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu is knowing not just that God created the world, because if God created the world, then okay, fine, so what? But it's that God's actively running the world. That's an element of Emunah that we need. Just to believe that something created it, whether it was some divine being or whether it was some chemical reaction, doesn't have that much of a practical implication. But the notion that God actively runs this world, that's an element of Emunah that's a mitzvah for us to have. That God's running the world, which is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is such a focal point of so many of the things that we do. And that's the first mitzvah. Second one.
They could relate to it. I mean, he chose something that they could relate to.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
True. He doesn't even...
You wanted to build your trust, you chose things that the kids can relate to.
Interesting.
And I think...
Right, God's building trust in that first...
Yeah.
And that first deeper. And in general, there's a machlokas about whether or not that first of the Ten Commandments is actually a commandment and a mitzvah, or if it's a preamble to all other mitzvot, which seemingly would fit in. But still, I would think he would mention at some point. I don't even know if the Jews knew that God created the world. And there were a lot of deities in the time, and if someone was more... if they were connected to the notion of Egyptian society, then it was just okay. There are all these gods, and this one happens to be the most powerful. I would imagine that it's worthwhile to mention that God created the world as well, but that's not what God's worried about, and that comes out later on. And then there's the second one, and this maybe connects to what we were just saying, because the mitzvah hasheni, he hatsivo shitzivani b'hamanas hayichud. The Emunah in the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the singularity. V'hu shenamin b'fol hametziyut v'tzibat baso harishona echad, that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists and is really the only thing that exists, and that's what we mean when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that God is entirely singular, God is one, and there's nothing beyond God. The only precise descriptor that we have of Kadosh Baruch Hu that is absolute is that God is singular. Everything else, you said God's loving, yes, God's loving, but there's also time where God's not loving. All the other ones are not absolute except for the fact that God is one, and God is never anything but one. And that's really what we're saying when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Brand probably mentioned this because I've heard him mention it a few times, but I did not hear it from him. I heard it from Rabbi Yudin. But Rabbi Binyamin Yudin, who used to be the rabbi in Fair Lawn, has a beautiful, beautiful idea, message, that when we say Shema, we cover our eyes. Why do we cover our eyes when we say Shema?
Concentrate on what you're saying.
Concentrate, but he says that there's another level. Because when we say Shema Yisrael, we say Shema Yisrael, so I hear Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, this element of mercy, and Elokeinu, of din, of judgment, Hashem Echad, are one and the same. Both of these elements exist in the same entity, the same being. But that's not always so easy to see. Sometimes in our lives, it seems like there's more din happening and not as much mercy happening, or vice versa. It seems like, you know, whether it's internal and we're happy about it, or it's external and someone who should be getting punished isn't getting punished, it seems like there's not that much judgment happening. And so it's hard for me to see that. And so when I say Shema, I cover my eyes and I say Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know that this is true, but it's not always so easy for me to see. So I'm going to say it, but I'm going to cover my eyes so I can really concentrate on the notion, even if I don't see it around me. But that idea of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we're not like Zoroastrians, which is my favorite name for a religion. That's just a great name, Zoroastrian. They believed that there was a good God and a bad God that were constantly fighting. And if something good happened to you, the good God was winning. Something bad was happening to you, the bad God was winning. That's not what Jews believe. We have good things and bad things, but we make brachos on both. Just like we make a blessing when something good happens to us, we make a bracha when something bad happens to us. And ultimately, the Gemara says that we're going to make the same bracha. Anytime anything happens to us, we'll say Baruch Atov Meitiv, Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for the good. But in this world, like in Rabbi Yudin's Shema Vivort, we don't always see that what's happening is good. And so we'll say Bracha Baruch Dayan HaEmet when something bad happens, but we know that ultimately it's all really for the good. The Bracha of Dayan HaEmet, I've been thinking a lot about death just in this past year because I lost both my grandparents. I've been saying Kaddish. I'm giving a shiur about Kaddish tonight in Yom Hazel Skokie, if anyone's interested. And so Baruch Dayan HaEmet, we're saying Kadosh Baruch Hu is a just ruler, that a truthful and appropriate ruler, that this was ultimately for our benefit, even though it's not so easy. And so the idea of Shema, that all good and bad is coming from the same source, that's a key of Emunah. And so those two are things that I think we naturally feel and we naturally associate with and we're comfortable with. But then there's a third level, a third mitzvah of Emunah that we're really focusing on. That third mitzvah is mitzvah shlishi. We're now on line 20. To believe in the Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to tremble before Hashem. Don't be like the heretics who are walking around saying the world's arbitrary and things just kind of happen in happenstance. Rather, you should be concerned about punishment, which is not something we often talk about. It's not something that we feel comfortable with, the notion of being punished for, and that there are consequences to our actions. But I think Revolbi gets to this a little bit later on, that if we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being real in our lives, that it's a real relationship, in any of our relationships, we know that there are mitzvos and there are averos. That getting someone a gift on their birthday is a mitzvah, and ignoring their birthday is an avera. And it's just like I know that my interpersonal relationships have consequences. If God is real to me, then that relationship has consequences also. And maybe it'll look similar to my personal relationships, maybe it won't. But there are going to be consequences, and that's real emunah, that really Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be happy with me if I'm treating a Kurdish Baruch Hu well, any Kurdish Baruch Hu is going to be upset to some extent. Doesn't mean a Kurdish Baruch Hu is not going to love me anymore. Doesn't mean the relationship's gone. But my parent could be upset with me, and they can still love me. A Kurdish Baruch Hu can be upset with me and still love me, and that's okay. And that is making a Kurdish Baruch Hu real. That's real emunah. That's that third level. Not just seeing the good and the bad, not just seeing a Kurdish Baruch Hu runs the world, but that this is a real relationship that I have. And Ravobi even adds on, he says that when we think about the first two, that the notion of a Kurdish Baruch Hu running the world, we're not constantly thinking about the fact that Kurdish Baruch Hu runs the world. It's just not something that we can have in our minds constantly. And that all the things that are good and bad happen, if at every moment of the day, at every point of everything that happened to me, I had full cognizance of the fact that everything that Kurdish Baruch Hu does is good, even if it feels bad, I would never get upset, I'd never get frustrated, I'd never get, my blood pressure would never rise, and that's definitely not the case. It's hard to keep both of those two things in mind, but the constant, really, in our emunah is actually the third level, that the third piece of Yiras Oncho, the recognition that there are consequences to my actions, and there are, and that this is a real relationship, because we're constantly aware of, if I do this, it will be bad. It will hurt this relationship, or if I do this, it will help the relationship. That's something that we can always keep in mind. That's the piece of our emunah that's actually most like a relationship. And so he said...
That doesn't, sing to me at all. I would rather, find the relationship with God through love or through the mitzvot or, I started to think that every time I make a bracha, this is very recent, and I know I make brachas, but the idea that when I make a bracha, it's bringing God into my house or into my four whatever.
Right.
To me, that makes more sense than to me to think that I'm going to be punished or this Yira thing. I'd rather think about it from the I love to have him in my company.
So the notion of Yira, we haven't really translated, because how do we usually translate Yira?
Fear.
Fear. So the word fear is better translated as pachad, which is like trembling. Yira has the same root as the word re'ia, of seeing, reish aleph. Yira is a recognition, a being able to see. Ravobi has a piece on just Yira in slightly earlier on in the Sefer, where he says that Yiras Hashem is two level. It's seeing Kurdish Baruch Hu all in your whole world, seeing that a Kurdish Baruch Hu is real, and so Yiras Hashem might even be expressed as saying, when I make a bracha, I'm bringing a Kurdish Baruch Hu into this world, and that's a fulfillment not of Avas Hashem, but of Yiras Hashem. The recognition that when I don't make a bracha, I missed out on that opportunity is the flip side. And so if, as a pessimist, maybe I would focus on it, but it's not a lacking of Yiras Hashem to not see every mitzvah, every part of our lives, every moment of chesed, every time we smile at someone as being an opportunity of Yiras Hashem, of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Ravobi takes it one step further and says that Yira is not just seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yira is sometimes seeing ourselves, seeing the real me, because it's very easy to kid ourselves and say, I don't have any problems, I'm perfect, I don't make any mistakes, and so Yiras Hashem sometimes is recognizing you as a person, and you relative to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I think I'm learning a Geras Ramban with a high school boy right now, where Geras Ramban, if anyone isn't familiar with it, then even before Ravobi, with all cover to Ravobi, Geras Ramban takes priority. It's very, very short. It's the epitome of short and sweet. The Ramban, when he moved to Israel, his lifelong dream, as many of our Gedolim's dreams have been, is to live in Israel. And the things he went through in order to get there was extraordinary, but Rabbi Brand's really the Ramban historian, and so I'm not going to get into all the details. But when the Ramban was leaving, he had to leave his family with something, and so he left his son a letter of, this is how you act in the world. And effectively his son could reference this letter whenever he had a question, whenever he had something he wanted to talk to his dad about, because the likelihood of being able to correspond with Israel was just not so high. And it's a beautiful, beautiful letter. And one of the things that he says is that humility is not a notion of being of looking around at other people and saying, oh, I'm worse than them. It's recognizing who you are relative to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yiras Hashem is saying that as even I could be the greatest, most impressive person in the entire world, but relative to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I got nothing. He calls it Yiras HaRomumus, the greatness, the grandeur of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most successful person of all time, who literally did something unprecedented and took a people out of Egypt, which had never been, no one had ever escaped from, who performed miracles, who was really, 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 really impressive, was also the most humble person of all time, most humble person to ever live. And it makes perfect sense when you understand it, because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his grandeur, literally met HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when you've seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you have real Yiras Hashem, then you don't think so highly of yourself, because you know the contrast. And in general, the greater and greater you get, the more you see, the more Yira you have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of yourself, of the world, and the less you think of yourself. Oftentimes people who think highly of themselves know very little and see very little. And so this notion of being able to see of Yira, that's what keeps us going. That's the one that's a constant. Because whether for the positive or the negative, myself included, don't like thinking and associating our Avodas Hashem with reward and punishment in a judgment kind of sense, in a getting in trouble, checks and minuses. That's not fun. But that what I'm doing matters, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's really there. I think we talked about it another time. Yeah, we did. I mean, it's all connected. It's all emunah. But if seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu, if any time I do something good or, God forbid, something bad, of recognizing that it's not just me here, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the room with me. And if Latova, then great. And I'm inviting Kodesh Baruch Hu with my blessing. And Lara, it's unfortunate. I'm saying, okay, you go hide behind the plant while I do something that you don't want me to do. And that's something that's going to stick with us. That's going to take us forward. And so at the end of line 4 on the backside, on 108, and the last word says, Ach. And so we had these two. We had Emunas HaYichud and Emunas HaElokus, but Ach, Gam HaEmunas Zos, Misoreres, B'kol Tok, V'Rak L'Regayim, B'Shas Hitalos Yesera. These things only come up once in a while. Kigom, B'Shat, Kriyat Shema. During Shema, okay, the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world and he's good and bad at the same time, that happens during Shema. But V'Kashim Ma'od L'Chiyos B'Emunas Zos, B'kol Shav Tzayom. It's hard to think about that all day. Rak Emunas HaYira, Uveprap Yira Sachet Va'onesh, Hi Asuya Lilvos as Adam Tamid, Lerasen as Yitzrav Ulud Dvarav Lamasim Tovin. That's what's going to prevent us from doing anything. That's going to be the difference between us doing good and not necessarily doing good. That's what's going to keep us going. And that perspective of Kodesh Baruch Hu being in the world, of being active, that, and what I do matters. One of the animamins that we say, one of the 13 fundamental principles of the faith that the Rambam outlines, is animamin b'skar v'onesh, that there's a concept of reward and punishment, that what I do really matters. And the notion of what I do really matters is actually very empowering, because it's very easy to say, oh, shoot. I believe it's nihilism. Nihilism? I don't know how to pronounce it. Nihilism, sorry. Nihilism is that, yeah, whatever, the world does make a difference, I can do whatever I want. That's and it's sad, and it's not encouraging. The notion that everything I do makes a huge difference in the world is actually empowering. It could be scary, but it's also very empowering. The notion that I could affect a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I could bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world with a blessing, or not, that's a reason to get up in the morning. There's so much, there's a world of opportunity. And that's what's going to keep with us all the time. This concept of Yira, of seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu, and recognizing that I can do good or not, that's what's going to actually help us operate throughout the entire day. That's where Emunah is going to come true, and going to come as a relevant part of our lives on a constant basis, not just at those moments of inspiration or lack thereof. And so just to close with the third to last line, so line 34 at the end, says Reperika Kodem Birarnu. In the previous chapters we've mentioned Kitza Miskala Kol Olam Hazel l'mamin kitzir gadol shel midosav v'yichud of Yisparach. How Kodesh Baruch, how the revelation of Kodesh Baruch will leads to real emuna in this world of seeing the great image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Umiyatam itzdaraflanu gam tzir baru shel olam haba. This really leads us to an understanding of olam haba as well. Bebuchina skara onesh v'zehu havoda hamushlemes be'emuna. The recognition that what I'm doing here will make a difference in the next world. What I do matters. What I do has an impact, and that will not just affect this world. Not just affects me seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu here, but when we get to the next world, and the next world, and the word olam haba is like a funny term because it either means our next world or the world of Yemos Mashiach. And so you always have to ask yourself anytime you see that terminology, what are we actually talking about? Are we talking about a messianic time, or are we talking about my own personal end of my life in this world? And I'm curious out on which one he's referring to. I suspect it's a personal one, although not necessarily. But that Akash Baruch Hu's recognition, that yira of Akash Baruch Hu, that's going to lead us to our next life. That there's like a, he doesn't say it here, that there's like a notion of the more real Akash Baruch Hu is to you now, than when we're no longer in a physical reality, when Akash Baruch Hu will be entirely real. It's much more comfortable. It's much more comfortable to, when it's entirely dark and you see like a little glimmer of light before it gets very, very bright. So this world is a dark world, ha'alem, dark of hiddenness. It's dark. It's a dark world, and the next world, olam haba, whether personally or communally or worldly, it will be a world of light, of revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the more we can attune our eyes to light in this world, in this existence, the more comfortable it will be when the grand light is revealed. Which is why whenever we're in like a dark movie theater or something, I always make sure to look at my phone, because my phone has a little bit of light in it, and then my eyes start to adjust, and then the lights turn on, and everyone else goes, oh, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not bad. And so I try to do that spiritually as well, to try to see as much light as I possibly can. And this, I was supposed to mention earlier, but I didn't, and it's just too good a story to pass up, so we're just going to wrap up with this. It's an awesome story about the Kedushas Levi. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Bartichev, and the notion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu running the world with the good and the bad. I was walking with his chassidim one day, and he stops, and they stop. And he says, if I was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, do you know what I would do right now? And they say, what? And he says, exactly what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing. You think I'm smarter than he is? Oftentimes, we think that we're smarter than God, and that there's a good and a bad. But the notion of Shema, the notion of seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu and that light that in this world, no, everything that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing is for our benefits, for the good. It's for the ultimate redemption and for the ultimate good. And it's not always so easy to see, but we're trying. We're doing our best. We're trying to see more and more and more. So thank you very much.
Thank you.